2, 1. Welcome to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. I am Joshua Teehee, and with me always, from the Dorktown Network of Podcasts, Mike C. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well. It is officially September, although it feels like July, August.
It's coming, though.
100 and what right now in this room?
Like 100. Oh, in this room, yeah. It might be worse in this room.
It's like a sweat lodge in here. I love it.
The studio doesn't do well in the heat.
So we got a little
bit
of
heat. But it's coming. The 90s are coming.
The 90s, and we're all excited. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really excited because finally the rest of California is getting a taste of the valley. So
I've been seeing that all week because the people in San Francisco and the Central Coast even.
They're freaking out.
Even the Central Coast. San Luis Obispo. There were some spots around San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, that was hotter than we were. Like 111, 112. I was like,
103 in Chinatown in San Francisco or something like that.
And I was
Ridiculous, though. That's ridiculous.
This guy, Tony Bags, Fresnan, that lives lives in San Luis Obispo. I saw him on Facebook. He goes, I pay a lot of money to avoid this heat. This is ridiculous. So he's like, I could just come back to Fresno if I want to live in this.
So I had some friends that live up in Santa Rosa, and they were just like, they were dying. I said, hey, come to Fresno. Look, it's hot, but I have air conditioning.
But we're ready. We know how to deal with it. We have all the things
we
to deal with
it. Pools and air conditioning.
We're already ready for global warming. And, those guys aren't ready for it. That's what I said. I was like, get used to it, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's called global warming. It's not going away. It's not gonna get better. Nope. You're not gonna be like, 2017, that was the worst year. Now it's gonna be nice. Bro. It's gonna keep doing that. So either adjust like we have or die.
Yeah. So no excuses after this for not having air conditioning, people. Yep.
Investing in an air conditioning company in the Bay Area, Central Coast right now.
Dang.
There
it is.
That's only going to go up.
Mike C. just gave everyone that's listening the ultimate idea. So for the entrepreneurial mind out there.
You don't think anybody with money is installing AC units
all over
the place now?
That's so brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, but back to Fresno.
Fresno!
It's crazy because in a month, you'd think things wouldn't be that different from that, but it's insane the amount of stuff that's happened this month.
Crazy
stuff. Stuff that just like, you scratch your head.
You're like, what?
And then, So where do we want to start? You have the
all
list.
Right, well, the thing that happened right as the last episode posted, we didn't get to talk about is how, basically,
you have to. Okay. It's funny. Because it's funny.
There was the story. It was like an innocent story that I think Wojnarowski did on the girl, the Clovis girl,
right?
The blonde white Clovis girl. Is in the security bank building.
Lives in the security bank
whatever
building.
Whatever it's called.
Pacific Southwest building.
I'll never get used to that.
And on the Fulton Mall.
She's like, this is great.
She loves it.
Got it.
That's not really her voice.
No, I don't. That's what everybody else was.
But anyone who read it, read it in that voice. You're correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And so all the OG downtown people have been doing
it for a while.
They're like, what the heck, man? We've been down here all this time, and this Clovis girl comes for 10 minutes and is like, this is great.
I've never seen a story. So that story was definitely like very benign, right? Like I mean, it wasn't.
It was just like I read it and it didn't click with me like that. Like I a little bit like Clovis girl and downtown.
It
didn't do anything to me.
Here's the story. There is this woman who was from Clovis. She left Clovis. She lived in New York for a while. Did some stuff. She ended up, for whatever reason, back in Fresno. She's living in the security. Oh, she got a job at Bitwise, or one of the Bitwise.
There was a Bitwise pulled her back. Brain drain.
So,
pulled back.
Bitwise.
Boomerang.
Bitwise pulled her back. When she came back, she got a loft in the Security Bank building, and it's cool. It's you know, she's living the dream. Yeah. I feel like that a lot of people want to live. So
I want a loft in Security Bank
right.
building.
So Merrick wrote Merrick, I think, who is a columnist for the Bee. I think he saw something there, which was like, Clovis, white girl woman from Clovis, left, came back, millennial ish age. It's the story that I think that people have been waiting for. Like, it's proof that, like, this thing that people have been, mm-hmm. like, pushing is actually coming to fruition in yeah. his mind. Like, so that's how I think he saw it. Mm-hmm. And I think that what he saw was like, oh, if this works for this person, from Clovis, from North Fresno, from, you know, that sort of, background, then that should be proof that, like, oh my God, this thing is finally hip or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So that's the, so he did this profile of her, and it was a very just kind of straight ahead, you know, profile, and it was rosy, you know, but people were mean. People got mean about it in the comments, yeah. and I have never seen outrage like this for anything mm-hmm. that anyone has written or talked about. It was just this like. Crazy thing. And from people, I saw this reaction from people who I think should know better, you know,
yeah.
who themselves have toured the lofts back in the day, mm-hmm. And had seen it. And I know probably go, oh, well, these are really cool. And who understand that, like, or should understand that, like, this is a step. Like, if we want cool mm-hmm. stuff in downtown, there's, prices that we have to that we're gonna have to pay, and this is all part of that thing. So I couldn't understand where the outrage was coming from, and then it sparked this whole thing about gentrification in downtown Fresno, and everyone was like, gentrify. And I feel so I understand what people are saying about I don't understand people who talk about gentrification as it relates to, like, let's say the Mural District. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, maybe, what is that? North Fulton Street.
Mm-hmm. North
of the mall. North of the mall. Because, and here's why.
North of Warner's.
I don't know about gentrification, but, you know, they keep talking about displaced communities, et cetera. And there was no community in that area of Fresno 10, 15 years ago. I mean, there was nothing. No. There was buildings.
Where you're at was the only thing.
There was one thing, the Pearl Building, and that was it. And there was a bunch of empty warehouses, and that was it. And then, you know, Reza came along, and he did the Pearl Building. He started the Broadway studios and some other things, and it slowly started to build, but there wasn't anything there. I mean, if you go on Google Maps and look at their little archive, and you can see there was nothing there. So I can't see how they're talking about, like, displaced communities when it comes to, like, the cultural arts district. You know, I remember when the only thing that was there, and people freaked out when it got torn down, was the old Vagabond Hotel, which right. was like this underground skate spot.
It was a legendary skate spot
that was also like kind yeah. of terrible, like
a bad place.
You know,
like if in a perfect world, if you had a lot of money, you would have like saved the pool,
right,
and built around it or something,
right? But made it, yeah.
That's just not realistic, I guess.
So I don't understand it, because, you know, I'm looking at it now and I'm saying, man, there is a community here, there's a neighborhood here where there used to be nothing. So what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you move on to the actual mall proper, I kind of understand it, because, you know, what they're talking about is there was a population that frequented and used the mall, and that population is sort of being, I don't want to say it's being pushed aside because I don't think it is being pushed aside. Yeah. But it's definitely I don't want to say it's being ignored because I don't think it's being ignored. But in a way, I mean, yeah, they're sort of coming in and replacing this population, mostly Hispanic population that used to be there. So I can, from that standpoint, I can understand some of the concerns. At the same time, I feel a lot about, so the people who talk about gentrification of Fresno, I feel about them kind of the same way that I feel about people who think that downtown Fresno is like homeless people looking to kill you. I feel like people think, you know, so people think about downtown Fresno, a lot of people think about downtown Fresno like it's the Tenderloin in San Francisco or something.
Uh-huh.
And I think that some people think about downtown Fresno and like the gentrification like it's, you know, 4th Street in Oakland or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think it's there yet. And while I see the concern, I just don't understand why it's so in people's faces right now.
Right.
We want cool stuff. So let's try to work toward getting cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's not to say there's not a proper way to do it, but that the sad part about it is things will change as that happens. Property prices
right.
will go up. I'm sorry that means maybe someone from Clovis is going to move in to your loft. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, man, we got these Clovis people moving
but you
in.
Know
we
got
to get out of
the
here.
The people I saw complaining, like, they don't, a lot of them don't even live in Fresno, and a lot of them definitely don't live downtown. So it's like, just what are you even talking about?
But I think your whole point, and I totally agree with, is that as far as downtown goes, there wasn't ever really cheap rent.
No.
And it never has, even when the Ironbirds weren't cheap and still aren't, I assume.
No.
When they came in, it was like a little bit of sticker shock, like, whoa.
Yeah.
But, like, to your point, there wasn't an option. There wasn't, like,
right. There wasn't,
wasn't all this affordable housing.
Right.
And then they're like,
gone.
Get the hell out of here.
Right.
We got money. We got Clovis money, bro.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right.
Everything that's come up in the past 10 years
yeah, if
is
anything,
new.
If anything, those lofts are cheaper now than they were.
Oh, I'll bet they are. I remember, I think it might have been with you, it might have been a Creative Fresno thing or night or something. I remember turning those off like
lofts.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
Long time. And she may be still the only one in there. I don't know.
Well, no. I think actually that those lofts, there's actually a waiting list. And they're so the lofts
are like
full.
Because when we were there, like nobody was living
right,
up
right.
there. And there was like 100%. Maybe three of those or something.
Right.
And I
don't think the price has dropped any from, you know, what they were asking before. So, yeah. I mean, I don't really feel like it's gentrification, you know, like, there was this thriving scene of like whatever.
As far as a resident prices go, there wasn't anything to price before, and now there is. And that price is more expensive than, say, getting a place in a tower or even an apartment in Northwest Fresno.
But what are you getting?
But,
I mean, you know, look at that loft. Think about that loft. Is where else in the city can you get something like that?
Nowhere. Not that
experience,
for sure.
I mean, it's not even possible. So, like, for anyone to be like, it just seems silly to me. So,
I think there's a separate argument to be made that you kind of touched on of the Fulton Mall businesses, where like they had a low. They had a high occupancy rate before.
Right.
But it's just not the shops.
I don't know if it was a high occupancy. I think it was
healthy occupancy.
I think it was healthy. I think it was decent.
But it's
not
the shops that North Fresno would care about.
Well, and I mean, I think if you look at it, I think what people would say is the potential occupancy was way underperforming what it should be.
Right. Okay.
You know. Is what they would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, from that standpoint, I mean, you could make the argument that those people are sort of are going to be pushed out or are going to start feeling the pressure as, you know,
you get a Starbucks, you get a Peet's coffee,
yeah. You get some. I mean, aside from the construction, I mean, I think the construction totally destroyed businesses. Merrick came back a couple weeks later and wrote the story about Parsley Cafe.
Yeah, they're just hanging on by a thread. Right
hanging
now.
On by a thread, and mostly because of well, not mostly, but the construction definitely hurt them. I think it hurt a lot of businesses, and the ones that that stuck through, you know, on the at the tail end of this, are they going to see their rents raised the next time?
That's the tough part, especially when you're talking about out of town owners. Which I, from what I've been told, this was years ago, but I don't know that it's changed at all. That a lot, most of that Fulton area is owned by somebody in Los Angeles or somebody in the Bay Area,
right.
And they have no sort of concept of Fresno and that. They're just like, oh, this is much square footage. And in the downtown, it's whatever, it's $3,000 a month, and you're like, whoa.
So what I've heard is the cheapest or one of the cheapest spots right now on the mall is a 450 square foot site, and it's renting for about $1,000 a month. So that's, you know, $2 a square foot now. Where that stands compared to other places, who knows?
And
that would be right
Fresno,
there.
But I don't
that would be right there on Fulton Street. So, you know, but I definitely do think that, you know, it will be more difficult for small kind of independent places without a lot of capital to operate on the mall.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't see the mall becoming the next River Park.
No,
or even the next Fig Garden Village. So,
no, it's not, and hopefully it becomes something different altogether and has more the most local stuff that you can imagine. But
yeah, eclectic.
I think, you know, a mix of national, a couple national things
gotta
is not a bad
it.
Thing.
Gotta
I think
have
you got to have some of it.
Yeah.
You always need to support local number one first. Like if there's a Starbucks and a good local coffee
right.
place. Couple doors down,
which there is,
you should
there's
always
a place
be going
called
to
Brewfix on Fulton. Brewfix. If you want to go there,
Brewfix. Okay. Where is that one at? Is that in the
it's
Warner's
right,
place?
No, it's right down the street. It's actually in the Lead Center, so it's right across.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Lead, man.
Lead?
It's an old. It could be Lead. I don't know. So it's an old newspaper term.
Lede.
It's like the what you would call the.
Because it's the, built around
the,
first,
the
old
Fresno Beat. Yeah. It's in the old newspaper district, right there by the old Fresno Bee Building. Anyway, it's right across the street from the Culture Arts Park.
Those are pricey.
So, yeah,
the Lede. Those are like $1,400 or something.
Oh,
like
I don't
that.
Know. I haven't. Yeah. So anyway,
if I was single, I'd be living downtown. One of those places would be.
So I actually just had a friend who
in my 20s.
I had a friend who it was living. He had a house in someplace, Fig Garden, I think, and was done with it. He was like, "I'm tired of having to clean rain gutters or whatever." And
yeah,
he's
dude.
Like, "I'm moving.
House maintenance
sucks. I'm moving." He's like, "The
it
the,
takes up so much of your weekend."
He's like, "The soccer team, they you know, it's going to be downtown." Blah blah blah. He's like, "I feel like I got to be down there." So he recently moved downtown. So this is what we're seeing.
Smart.
So. I wanted to
houses
actually,
are time consuming.
They are. So I wanted to actually. I would have spent. I think we probably could spend the entire episode just talking about this gentrification thing.
Gentrification.
And
well, what? Like what? Okay. What would they have? What somebody that's? Because I kind of feel the people saying gentrification. I'm feeling that,
yeah.
But also like, well, what do you want them to do? Like keep the neighborhood shitty?
Leave it the same.
Leave it shitty so it's cheap. Like wait, like I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
I mean,
that.
Realistically, that's how it works, right? I mean, that's how. And if you look historically, that's just how it is. There's a place that exists that's cheap. So people who need cheap places, artists, etc., move into those places. Then other people go, oh man, these artists live there. That place
things are cool.
This is cool. So they start moving in, and then it becomes like outpriced for them. So then they have to leave. I mean, and it's what's happening in San Francisco right now, and it's terrible. I don't know what to do, you know. But what
San Francisco's its own.
What do you do about it? You know.
Yeah.
So
that. Right, and that's if you got artists and breweries coming in your neighborhood, look out.
Look out.
Rent's going up, bro.
And that's, yeah, so.
That they're like the first, because they're like sort of like the thing that turns neighborhoods around.
True. And then, right, and what are they looking for? So like a brewery, right? Like, breweries go into,
space.
Right, cheap space. So they're going to be in an area that isn't. Great, because that's the only area you're never gonna get a brand new brewery to build in, River Park, let's say, because A, there's not enough space for them there, and if there were, they would be priced out of the market. They just couldn't do it. So where are they gonna go? They're gonna go where there isn't anybody. Well, now there is someone and people want to go there, so other people want to go there, and then suddenly it becomes a place that people want to be part of. I think, you know, the problem
and
is
you gotta go for, I suggest the artists go find another cool area, underappreciated area to go.
They'll go back to Tower District.
You
know, they'll go to Chinatown. You know,
there you go. If you want to be hardcore, Chinatown.
Right.
I mean, I've been saying this for 20 years, like Chinatown is the most unpolished jewel there is, but it's super unpolished right now.
Oh yeah.
Ultra unpolished, but if you polished it, it would be really rad.
It could be really cool, yeah. So I mean I don't know what the answer is, and I do feel for people, but I also think that people are kind of being a little indignant about it and not really like not understanding or not wanting to like give credit to like the extreme difference that people have made putting an effort into downtown. You know, there are people who really put an effort into downtown, into making it something. And like, there is a community there. There is a neighborhood there that did not exist 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Like, I can walk in my neighborhood now and I could see families with their kids hanging out at the park. I can see people walking their dogs. I can see, and that wasn't even a thought, you know, 15 years ago. So to me, it's like, while I understand it, while I see that it's an issue that we should be addressed. I still think there's a lot of good being done down there. I also think that this woman from Clovis who moved into the loft was treated rather unfairly.
She was
by people.
I think people, I hope she wasn't looking at everything.
I think maybe she
the
was.
Stuff I think because like we see, we have like the same similar friends on Facebook, so we probably saw a lot of the same stuff. And I the whole time thinking like, I hope this girl doesn't have the same friends, because there were a lot of people
who know her and were just really upset by it. And I can understand why, because I think people were like just. Like forgetting, like, oh, this is a person who has a life that they're trying to live, and like obviously is trying to probably do some cool stuff. And you're using it to like make a joke or make a point or whatever. So
yeah,
anyway,
that one meme. There was a meme. I was just like, I had to laugh at it because it was so funny, but also just like, dang, this has gotten to meme proportions.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. I have not seen that happen locally, I don't think, that kind of thing, you know?
Right. So I thought we could spend the whole episode talking about downtown gentrification, but then tons of other stuff happened, and I was like, well, there goes that podcast.
The council's loose.
Again.
Okay, the city council. They are just so much backfighting now about... Okay, but here's my theory.
I love you. Don't even know where to
here's
go.
Here's my
with this
no. There's so many
much
things
happened.
Bredefield,
Brandow,
Olivier. It's just crazy. The other guys must just be like, "What the hell?" Dude?
Right.
But like, here was my theory. I was thinking of earlier. Is this because Swearbear is gone? That now they're just like Mom is gone. So now they're just like, screw it.
Lee Brand has to put his foot down.
They're acting like the substitute teachers here. Like Ashley left. She's like, all right, I'm gonna have a sub here for another four years, guys. Be nice to the sub. And they're like, we will.
And then Lee Brand shows up.
And then Lee Brand's like, all they're like,
yeah.
Because it feels like they're just off on their own, just being crazy.
It's insane. So where do we even want to start with this one?
I don't know.
So there is the marijuana ban.
Yeah, now it's banned again.
We may have talked about.
I'm lost now because they voted the ban again, but then there's still another vote.
Who
again?
Knows?
I don't.
So, essentially, there is a contingency, a few on the board, mainly Gary Bredefeld, who feels like marijuana is evil. It goes against the Lord. And also,
I'm pretty sure Jesus was a pastor.
And also,
I'm pretty sure.
Fire codes. If you watched any of the, at one point during one of the council meetings, so they were talking about growing recreational marijuana. And in order to grow, you got to use these lights. And so something in the regulation mentioned the amount of water that you could use. And so Bredefeld was like, well, if you use more than that, could you start a fire? And the answer is, well, I suppose so. And
everything can start a fire.
So he says, well, if you're voting... If you vote against this ban, then you're voting for fires. Like he said that. And then Clint Olivier just sort of like laughed at him. But
yeah.
what's really interesting is, so Clint Olivier is definitely against this, the ban. And I think
he's the no rules camp of like,
right.
He's just like, yeah, let businesses do whatever
right.
the heck
well,
they
and,
want.
Well, and I mean, I think he understands that there are some benefits that could come to the city.
A lot of revenue
from this. So they keep going back and forth on Twitter, and it's becoming insane. I mean, they were gifting each other the other day, and I mean, it was just hilarious. It was like.
Counts of gifting each other.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so this is really what we've devolved into. It's like people and like, look, I fall into this camp. I think it's great. So I follow them both so that I can see the back and forth between them. But it's also insane when this is what it's come down to, that like you can't have an actual conversation about this. It's like, in God we trust. And God says pot smoking is terrible, or, get the government. The government sucks, and the will of the people says we should be able to smoke free in the streets.
Yeah.
And, I fall somewhere in the middle. And we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. So there was that thing.
Yeah.
Then came this thing. I want to say this was Brandow who brought this one up. And it's just like, I feel like if other people were reading this or seeing this, they would just have to laugh because it's so freaking weird. Camping is now illegal.
Urban camping, illegal.
In Fresno. There it is.
I just didn't get too deep in it. I'm just like. I thought that would just sort of be illegal if you want it to be illegal, not already. Like, why do you even need to mention it? Like,
okay.
So, if a cop sees a homeless person on the sidewalk camping out, I would have thought he already, if he really felt like dealing with that, which usually you don't, which I don't blame him. Like, why would I want to deal with that on my work day? Like, they could either choose to like, hey man, find a new place or not. Like, why?
So I think maybe the reason for this is so that the police officers have a way to force said homeless people into services
that we don't have to.
So
give
look,
them.
So here's how it plays out in my mind. several years ago, there were homeless encampments, and they were in a specific part of town. And for whatever reason, the city decided it wasn't good to have these major homeless encampments, so they broke them up. So they actually sent in the police, and it was this whole big thing. And we probably talked about it on the show, and I'm sure it was in the news. The result of that was that all the homeless people then spread out all across town because they didn't want to be like in one big group. So they couldn't be. So they spread out all across town. So now we have a situation where even though there are less homeless people overall than there were, you know, 5-10 years ago, more people are seeing them, right? Because they're in different parts of town.
They're all over.
So now that people are seeing them, they're like, wait a second. Oh my God, we have a terrible homeless problem. When actually the homeless problem is probably less terrible, than it was before.
Less homeless people than we did before.
But now they're in parts of town where people don't want to see them.
Yeah.
So it becomes a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is, and I can't decide if his heart is in the right place or not, but the idea of this ban would be, it would give the police a means to force the what they're calling chronically homeless, whatever the hell that means, into services. So, you know, the idea is that there are a certain number of homeless people who don't want to be helped, like,
yeah,
which I think is ridiculous.
There's all kinds of levels, and that is a small percentage.
But
it's there, but it's a small percentage.
And so the idea is that this would give the police a means by which to. But my thought about this whole thing is the things that people are complaining about, right, or the things that people want dealt with. Okay, they don't want to see homeless people out everywhere, so like loitering, right? So they don't want to see. Homeless people, like, pooping in public and stuff, right? You know, they don't want to see that. Homeless people vandalizing homeless people or whatever, however you want to classify that. My thought is, aren't all of those things already illegal?
I can't go and
poop on someone's lawn, can I?
Not that I'm aware of, but like, you could try it. See what happens.
So what makes me any different than anyone else? So why do we need this law?
Yeah, that's much to do about nothing as far as that's why I was like, why do you?
I kind of think so. I think really what it is so that he can like
say
point out like,
something.
Oh, look, I'm trying to do something, but, which is cool. I mean, hey, kudos to him for actually like trying something. But
the biggest
issue is we're
underfunded for programs. Right. Like if we had a ton of space and ton of mental health people to help the people, because this is a huge issue, is people that aren't mentally healthy, and you've all seen them. They're not, that person's obviously has a problem mentally. As us as a society needs to shelter those people and help them.
Right.
We have enough money to
do
that.
We could shelter them in jail.
But we don't. Yeah.
That's the idea. I think and to me it's like, look, if I wish that they would just be honest and go and say like, look, and actually I believe this is actually in one of the council members, and I can't remember exactly now, actually said like, yeah, if they went to Oildale, that'd be fine with me. You know, like I just don't want them in our city. And to me, like that's never gonna solve anything.
You're just pushing things around.
But I wish that they would at least be honest and go, look, I want to put all these homeless people in jail so I don't have to look at them. Mm-hmm. And then that would be cool. I mean, you know, I think it's a terrible thing. Like that's a really bad. But that's what they're saying.
Right.
But they're couching it in this thing in like camping.
Camping.
Yeah.
The problem is
people need to, the people that don't like taxes and don't like programs and but like having police.
Right.
But don't like this is where we need the money to help this, and then you don't have to deal with it. If we had if we had great programs that helped homeless people and had big facilities and mental health help and physical and all this help,
right.
If we actually gave those programs money and funded them, then we wouldn't have this issue. Right. But you're a person that like, no taxes, don't take any of my money. Okay, well, then you're going to have to deal with shit,
right,
bro.
Right.
If you don't want to get taxed, then you're going to have to fucking deal with shit.
Right.
So you can't have both things. You can't not be taxed and also have no homeless people and no problems in the world. Like, you got to deal with it.
And you know, there are best practices that there are places that are dealing with homeless people in lots of different progressive ways that actually have been shown to work. We're just not at all looking at those.
No, we don't have to. We would rather just put them away.
Right. Maybe they'll
maybe they'll find a weaker city that doesn't deal with this.
They'll just go down to Selma or whatever. Yeah. This is my question though. So remember, I think I mentioned this on Twitter. Remember when what was the guy who was running for governor and he came down here and he camped out?
I don't remember his name. He camped out for a day.
And so we came up with the urban camping. So I wonder if this guy was caught, would he be forced into services? Yeah. Would they force him and be like,
he's
no,
like
no,
trapped
sir.
In service. He's like, no, I'm running for governor. Yeah. I'm ready for governor too, bro. Let's go.
According to this law, would they? And actually, reading some of the stuff, it was very interesting because I want to read a little bit more because it's what it felt seems like to me is they passed a law that says, like, you know, whatever, it's illegal, but they can't. They also made amendments to the ban that said they can't really enforce it. So they can't really arrest you for it and they can't ticket you for it. Which, so what's the point?
Yeah.
Although I did see also someone posted on Facebook a memo, email, I assume, that they got from, you know, they work for the city, that said the homeless task force is now being, so the city, I guess, had a homeless task force. It's being transitioned into a crisis intervention team, whatever the heck that means. And all calls about homeless encampments should now be sent to the policing districts that they come from. So this is how we're dealing with homeless, with the police now. So, Fresno!
Not the way to do it, man.
Fresno! Woo!
Programs. Yeah. Fun programs. I think we need a music break, man.
Oh, you want to go to it? Yeah, we're weird. Yeah, man. We're
getting weird, man.
So, band of the episode.
Band of the episode.
Who we want to?
Old classic.
This is old school.
Patrick Contreras.
So Patrick Contreras. Patrick has been playing for a long time. What I love about Patrick is he's always sort of like he's reinvented himself a bunch of times. So like, you know, he played violin and then for a while he was doing this weird like hip hop EDM kind of stuff and he was posting all these videos. Then he came back and he had this Violin on Fire thing, which was like him as this like rock trio in the vein of like Jimi Hendrix, whatever. Like, and now he's back. He has this thing called El Violin, which he's calling Chicano violin music, and I think he's really like trying to embrace sort of the Central Valley sound, the Central Valley vibe, and also just, you know, his own, like putting it all together and making it his own. So he recently released an EP, I think, and so we have a track here.
Patrick.
So
always just one of the better performers in town.
One of the better performers, and just, you know, someone who he does a lot, I think, that people don't even know about. Like, I don't feel like he's out there publicizing himself all the time and saying, oh, I did all this cool stuff, you know. But I know, I think him and Omar Nare, like, went and did this whole, they played a party at Google, and, you know, they've done all of this, like, really kind of cool, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, just kind of goes under the radar some. So, we should be proud to have Patrick in our city.
Always.
All right, what else?
What?
I know there's some stuff that you...
What else?
You were
well, throw some retail in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to it.
The Elephant Bar closing. You're super sad about Elephant Bar closing.
So I've been to the Elephant Bar maybe like twice.
Yeah.
And always like some, with a group that like...
Let's meet at the Alpha Bar.
Right, that kind of thing. Always, like okay. Either with like work people or just... And it was always like some big party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that they like the Elephant Bar is because it's like this weird, crazy, eclectic menu. So no matter what you were into, you were going to get something
somebody
you liked.
Somebody could find something.
Right. So I think that's why people went there. I never really understood it as a restaurant. Like, it was just... I never really liked it. I never really went there all that much. It closed kind of abruptly. People were freaking out. I think a lot of people were like, good thing it's closed because it was really crappy. You know, either the service was crappy, the food was crappy, blah, 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 blah. I found it interesting because it made me do this thing where I thought, oh, man. So Elephant Bar is closing. People are but places close all the time.
Yeah.
Like restaurants don't last forever. There are a few that have lasted.
Yeah, it's such a
50,
small percentage.
60 years or whatever. But for the most part, places close. You just deal with it. So then it got me thinking like, oh my God, what are the places that have closed that I really miss? And I came up with a list that I put on Fresno B. You can go there and look it up if you want.
I gotta look at this. I've not seen it yet.
And it wasn't necessarily the list of places that I personally, there were a few that I personally missed, but but places other people always talk about. Daily Planet, Claim Jumper.
Yeah. I missed Claim. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be more.
Willikers, the Peppermill. and there was one more. And now I'm totally spacing.
Oh, the Peppermill.
The Peppermill.
The Peppermill Bar. Yes.
Right, you remember
I missed
Peppermint?
The Peppermill Bar.
Yeah. Lots of people.
The fireplace and the Las Vegas lighting. And,
right, see?
Damn it.
Yeah, the Peppermill was cool, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of these places. So, you know, we got a lot of response from that, the Fresno Bee did on our Facebook page from people. And then, you know, there were just a massive amount of people going, oh, you forgot. And then they had this whole list of all the places.
What was something you forgot?
I forgot Luby Chinese. You remember what? Luby? Oh,
what
man.
Was that?
Luby was over on Bullard and Bullard on the other first in Bullard by
first
the Save Mart.
Okay.
Okay. It was a vegetarian place. They had normal stuff, but he was known for his
That's why I didn't know.
He was known for his vegetarian meats. It was Chinese. And he made this Kung Pao chicken that was just like, oh my God. If you didn't know it wasn't chicken, you would be fooled. There were a lot of people who were like, am I eating like real chicken?
Like, they like had the chicken like, hey, yeah.
But
I was
he was like,
getting on.
He was like this crazy dude who was kind of like, you kind of just wanted to get your food and get out of there as quick as you could because he was...
he started talking to you. If he made eye contact,
right,
look
so
out.
Luby. Grandy's was another one. Do you remember Grandy's?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm mark me down for Grandy's.
Grandy's was a great
place. I miss
place.
Grandy's.
There was four of them at one point here in...
Grandy's was going nuts. It was
the
heyday
for
Grandy's. The
other place that I forgot I put on the list was Farrell's. You love
Farrell's.
Yes,
that might be my number one.
So
Farrell's
is crazy. So Farrell's actually the
I still don't know what happened to
they're back. So they're back, Farrell's, right?
Okay.
And they recently, like 3
as
years
a chain,
ago,
not
yeah,
in
as a
Fresno.
Chain, as a chain. They're not back in Fresno, although people are trying to get here. So they opened like 3 years ago. They opened a bunch of new places, like maybe 3 or 4. They opened a couple years ago in Sacramento. That place is already closed.
Oh no!
But they just recently opened down in. Buena Vista or something down in L.A., maybe down by Knott's Berry Farm or something. And so you can still go to Farrell's if you want.
Oh, the chain is still there, the same? So. Did they sound the fire alarm?
No, I don't think it's quite the birthdays. Same. But yeah. Anyway, so Farrell's was another
one. That was my favorite place as a little kid. The right over, kind of next to it, that burger place, the build your own burger place, right there. It's a bank. I think it might be not the B of A, but it's right there where the banks are on Palm.
Oh, Wells Fargo or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. There's It's also a chain, but it was like a build your own burger place.
I don't know.
Now the name's escaping me, yeah. But damn it. I missed that place because then you could just do
whatever.
Put all the toppings on you.
See,
wanted.
That would do good now. I think
it would. Yeah, and you like it was kind of weird because you stood in kind of like Chipotle is, where you go to a line and you make your order and it kind of like a buffet style, and they would give you your like plain burger, and then you would go to the burger bar and just build it up. I mess up.
So, and then there were, you know, other ones like the Harlan, Roy Harlan's restaurant, so Echo.
Before Echo's.
I don't know. There were several. And then some people went way back to places I didn't. There's a place called the Velvet Turtle. I never heard
of it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you were. I don't
like, as a little kid, yeah. I vaguely remember going
so,
out there.
Anyway, there were just a huge. So if you want to look at the list, just to go to our Facebook page, so you'll see the comments. There were like 350 comments from people just going on and on and on and on. I thought it was really fun because I like this kind of history.
Oh, yeah.
So it
yeah.
was interesting, so I had to do a little bit of research. So research Farrell's, research Willikers.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes.
And
link to Josh's story. Look in the show notes.
Yeah, Daily
right
Planet.
There.
Daily Planet was huge. When it closed, right, people just freaked out.
Yeah, I don't miss the Daily Planet. I mean, I wish it was still there, but yeah. I don't miss it.
And you know, that was just one of those situations where the lady had been there forever and was like, "I'm done," you know. And I think that's like most people think of like when a place closes, there's some big hullabaloo about why it closed, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's just like, I'm done working.
Club Fred, man.
You know? Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's never gonna come back, is it?
We'll see.
Audie's
we'll
Club
see.
Fred.
Anyway, so is there any? So Farrell's obviously,
yeah,
but is there any
think
that you
would be might be number yeah. one? I can't think of anything now. Trying to.
There'll probably be something that
I miss. The Bulldog Brewing.
Bulldog.
Now it's where Starbucks is and Habit Burger is in Fig Garden Village.
So did that become Butterfield? Butterfields?
No, it was
later.
It started as Rock Bottom Brewing,
okay. Rock
which
Bottom
is
Brewery.
Sort of like a BJ's Brewing. Okay. You know, BJ's
okay.
is
yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rock Bottom's
yeah.
kind of like that, and then they left, and then Bulldog Brewing took it over,
okay.
and basically didn't do a whole lot different with it. Just became like a local. And that was before the craft beer boom. That was like that early 90s craft beer boom.
What was
the 90s?
What
craft
was
beer
the place
boom
that became
that didn't last, but.
Became Sequoia and or Tioga Sequoia?
Oh, well, that was Butterfields, yeah.
Okay.
Butterfields was the original brew pub of Fresno.
And where was that?
That was Sequoia is now. Sequoia's is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They just changed names.
All right.
And then they start one of the guys. Or Kevin came from Butterfields. Kevin, the head brewer at Tioga.
Okay,
he was originally at Butterfields.
So Bulldog
back
Brewing
in the day.
There were a lot. There apparently Fig Garden was the place to be. Fig Garden, was,
yeah,
yeah. There
and then
a lot of places
before the it was Rock Bottom. It was God, my friends Aaron and Derek were talking about this too not too long ago. Now I can't remember the name. It was like. Fish place or something, and they had bands playing there and everything.
Really?
And then before or after, no, after that, that when it was like a fish company
fish
or something,
yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
And then it was like a salad bar place.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The where the Starbucks and Habit is.
Well, there you
it
go.
Was it was like Sweet Tomatoes, but it was not Sweet
right.
Tomatoes. It was some
it's
other
like,
chain.
Interesting.
And then they just tore it all out,
and
the
built,
Starbucks
yeah.
came in, but.
Well, there, yeah.
Ripe Tomato, or not Ripe Tomato. Ripe Tomato is the old Fig Garden restaurant. Right.
Oh, that was another one that was on the list. Ripe Tomato. A lot of people were missed that place. So, yeah. That it was interesting.
Fresh Choice, I think that's what it was.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I do remember the Fresh, that place. I don't remember that particular one. What else is there? So we can move on from that. Is there?
Come on.
We're done with this reminiscing, although it's really fun. And I would say anyone who's listening to this, if there's places we miss, send it, tweet at us. Because I would like to know what people remember about Fresno restaurants.
Let's see. Before we go. There was one
we're
thing.
Probably getting.
All right. Oh. Yeah, we're getting toward the end, but
okay.
We haven't talked about.
Got to talk about it.
Well, Bill McEwen.
Bill Mac.
One of my favorite all-time Fresno Bee reporters / columnists. He is retired again.
Well, retired.
From the Bee.
He actually is retired this time. He
cannot come back now. Oh, yeah. He announced he was leaving.
He announced and then he didn't end up going. Yeah.
But now it's official.
And now it is official.
And he has
retired and
working for this GV Wire.
GV Wire.
Which before it was just like a Granville, what I would think of as like a Granville.
What do you
like
mean before?
Webs.
It still is.
Well, no, it is. But I mean, I'm saying before I thought it was just a silly like what's Granville? Granville Homes, local developer,
Granville
started a GV Wire.
GV Wire, which
is like an online publication.
I give them credit for putting GV right there in the thing. So we know what it is right at the
right,
top.
They're not exactly
like no one's going to go.
They're not.
I read in the GV Wire that blah blah, blah and think that it's not.
Well, some people
to Granville.
You think that, but I saw on Bill McEwen's Facebook, he's like, "Hey, I'm announcing I'm going," and there was a lot of people commenting on his announcement. They're like, "What is that? What is that?" And then like one person would be like, "Is that Granville?"
Yeah. So it is Granville. For anyone who doesn't know, GV Wire is owned
the semi,
by
the
it's Granville essentially. It's a Granville, I would say, and I could be wrong. It's a Granville publication, but so what was your point about this?
My point is
why did you care?
Well, before I thought it was just dumb and nobody's going to pay attention to it, but then they get Bill McEwen and I'm like, whoa. This is kind
of
serious.
Well,
this is somebody who knows what he's doing.
It's sort of like when CB Observer picked up George Hostetter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's somebody of legitimate reporter, journalist,
right,
to be on there instead of just like some sort of right-wing like.
Well, the guy they had before, I can't remember his name now, worked for several right-wing radio stations in town.
Right.
I mean, so here's the thing that I think is happening. As the Fresno Bee downsizes and shrinks, because that's just what's happening now.
Because
I think
every newspaper
right,
in the country.
I think in order to and I don't think this is just in newspapering. I think it's kind of across all industries, you have the mega gigantic corporations that are doing okay, and then you have niche stuff popping up, and everything in between is kind of getting squeezed out.
Yeah,
and so I feel like Fresno Bee and a lot of like daily newspapers from like these mid-sized markets fall into that category where it's like, look, we're not the mega corporation, so we're not like McClatchy National, and we're not like Los Angeles Times or the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, like, right? So we're in this middle ground that haven't figured out exactly where our place is, so kind of getting squeezed out in some ways.
Yeah.
As that's happening, a lot of the people who are being displaced by the Fresno Bee in that, like, as you know, we're downsizing, people are being let go or choosing to retire because they see that the industry is changing and they don't necessarily want to be a part of it in that way, are moving to these kind of niche publications like GV Wire or others. And I don't think, I mean, it's not anything that we haven't seen kind of before. I mean, this is the same thing that happened when Fresno Famous started back in the day, though for different reasons, where, you know, the little competing site popped up, and it is what it is. I don't know. I mean, I think that there is a – from a competition scale, I mean, the resources probably aren't there to compete, like, on a major level in terms of, like, the amount of readership.
Right.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people are kind of wary because it's like, oh, hey, here's a developer who has a quote-unquote news site that's putting out, you know, news articles, and maybe not being 100% transparent in where their funding is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I suppose that could be a problem. But on the flip side, I you know, it's not. I feel like it's also not a problem until it is a problem. And as long as they are, you know, as long as people understand what it is and take it for that, then I think that's yeah, okay.
I agree with that. As long as people know what it is and it isn't a primary news source, that's what it would trouble right. me. Is as long as the Fresno Bee's out there, and even the local TV yeah. guys too, as long as the Bee is out there, I'm sort of okay. But if the Bee were to go away, and all of a sudden everyone's reading GVY, that becomes a huge problem yeah. because they have an agenda. I mean, even if they don't officially,
right.
I'm sure Bill. I would assume if a semis come to Bill and be like, "Hey, bro, I need you to slip in some pro development stories," I would assume he would say, "No, I'm not going to do that."
Right.
But I don't know Bill personally, but I would assume he would. I don't know.
I wouldn't be as afraid of that. Like, I don't think that's where it would come in. I think it would be on the flip side, which is like, you know, GVWire is never going to write a story about something nefarious or even, like, questionable that Granville does. You know? Right. So you're not going to have that. You're not going to have
someone
looking
up. They're not
going to
break some story about Granville not playing by the rules.
Right. I mean, something. Yeah. And not that that's happening, but, you know, that story's not going to get written. Yeah. So that's where it comes in. So to me, it's like I wouldn't be so afraid of them, like, writing stuff about pro developer, although, you know, I'm sure that's, like, the like, tilt of it. I would be more afraid. I would just say it's like, well, you're not – it's the stories you're not going to see mm-hmm. is the thing. But, I mean, you know
– Well, the what scares me is the first thing Bill does right off the gate was interview Ashton.
Brooke Ashton.
And it was just total puff.
It was
the biggest puff people ever. He asked one tough question of him and then just let Brooke just completely steer the whole story. And I was just like, Bill.
Well, do you feel like that for you, let's say, calls his credibility into question?
For the first time, yeah, because I'm a big Bill McKibben fanboy.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, whoa, have I been reading Bill wrong this whole time?
So what's really funny is a lot of people I was reading, you know, and obviously this is his post, so Bill McKibben's post on Facebook, and a lot of the commenters were like, I never used to agree with Bill, but on this,
yeah.
I'm,
you yeah, know. He's like flipping all the conservatives yeah. over, like, yeah. like, whoa, Bill's right on this, but before he was stupid.
Right, right.
And now I'm like the other guy. I'm like, hey, Bill's been right this whole time. Now he's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it definitely yeah. is. You know, I think that it caused a lot of people a pause, you know. And then he was out there, and rightfully so, because, you know, he's trying to market this thing that he's doing. But he was out there on a lot of different media talking about, you know, how this is the you know, that the Fresno Bee isn't the only game in town anymore, and that or mm-hmm. these kind of things. And it's like,
Well, you know, I don't mind,
which is fine, and I think that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Cause I don't want to say journalist because I'm not trained. I would reserve that for somebody that's somebody like Joshua T.
I am trained, and I wouldn't call myself that a journalist. So there you go.
Through the proper channels of journalism.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But I support. Obviously, would be disingenuous to say I don't support independent websites or independent people talking about news. But I just I don't. The Fresno Bee are journalists that don't have an agenda. To me, I know they don't. Their agenda is to get the best story.
Well,
they get read. Get their story read.
You think that's the case?
I'm not going to trust anything coming out of GVY because I know they're not. Well, I know Bill's journalist, but there's something going on. They want to control the planning of the city and the. And that kind of thing. So I don't trust whatever they're going to post. And
it will be interesting to me to see what happens and how they progress from here and the types of stories they cover and the types of things that they do. I will say that, you know, between CV Observer, GV Wire, I think Fresh Yes is also another site that
Fresh Yes is just a nice marketing wing of a real estate company. Thing. There's nothing wrong, good, bad about them. They put out some good stuff.
But I think, you know, between those three, I mean, I think that you're beginning to see that there is a market, there is an opportunity for someone to do other stuff. You know, because the B, especially now, the way that the industry has moved, like we can't do everything. The B can't do everything. I mean, it's just impossible. Yeah. And they wouldn't want to. So there will be other places that step up and hopefully, you know, GVY will be able to step up in some good ways. They definitely have some, you know, they have a person there that understands journalism and has done it for a long while. And so we'll see. But if I would say this is the main point, I think people like you are very – and probably the B in some respects too – are going to be very important in this, in that if, you know, somebody like GV Wire is obviously trying to move an agenda forward, there has to be some check on that of people going, mm-hmm. hey, wait a second. Don't you see what's happening here? So
– yeah.
But I think that's fine.
All right.
It's all good.
We'll be watching.
We'll be Mike is watching.
Watching.
There you go. I would really be interested to see because I haven't seen a ton of people. I mean, you know, I've heard some talk about it, and obviously talked with some people I know about it, about the GV Wire, and you know, it is very interesting, an interesting thing. But I'd be interested to, you know, what kind of other people. I'd like to know what Ed Stewart thinks, quite frankly. I mean,
what are the Ed Stewarts of the community,
you know,
thinking?
Or, you know, other people that I know that follow us on Twitter, so, mm-hmm. Or that listen to the show and follow. So if you're listening, go ahead and send us a little.
You see something nefarious happening, give us a heads up. We'll rant about it next month.
All right. Is there anything else?
I think we're good, man. I think it's time to
plug it up. All right, so what do you got?
Oh, always, thefresnan.com.
Fresnan,
your independent journalism.
Yeah, woo!
Independent blogging.
What did you write about?
There's nothing journalistic going on there.
It was great.
People get fooled, like, coming from Facebook that don't know the Fresnan, and then they come in and read, you know, I've got this... Like I'll cuss and I'll you know, not the best grammar in places, and they're like, What kind of reporting article is this?
Do you really get those comments? That's great.
Once in a while.
That is great.
It's like, bro, have you not seen blogs before?
It's a blog, man.
It's your first blog. Oh, I remember my first blog too. Yeah, so thefresno.com every Tuesday or Wednesday morning.
Tuesday ish.
there is a new post about something Fresno related.
What was the last one?
At the Fresno. The last one.
Was it about how awesome your electricity bill
is? No, that was the one before. I got the biggest electricity bill in all of Fresno, folks.
And then everyone was like, I have solar.
I have solar.
My bill was zero.
Now I'm thinking, no, it wasn't. It is you are paying for your solar.
You're true.
I hate that with solar people, which it's great. I probably should be on solar. But I'm not. So I'm just saying, like, everyone's like, my bill was zero. No, it wasn't.
You're,
you had a, you pay, right, what are you paying right. by, for
did,
your
Did you pay
solar?
Cash for your solar
yeah,
system?
Yeah, yeah. Unless you pay cash for your solar system, your bill was not zero this month, bro. Okay. Just saying.
I guess the electricity bill.
They just say my bill was zero.
Right.
No, all right. It wasn't.
What else? You have some other stuff to plug.
They just make me jealous.
He's all mad.
I'm just jealous.
I just want solar.
I want solar. Somebody come. I will put a blog post up. If you want to come put solar on my roof.
There you go.
I'll blog post about you.
He will post about how awesome
That's
your
worth
solar,
it, right?
Awesome,
like $20,000 worth of solar for one blog
for
post?
One blog post. Every month, just blog. This is how much I say.
This
one
is my
blog
and
post.
And then people
a month.
Will be like, what's your agenda, Fresden?
My agenda is to pay for my solar.
Yeah, it's paying for my solar, bro.
All right.
And also the other podcasts that come out of the Dorktown studio, which is The Perfect Pour.
Perfect Pour, Craft Beer Podcast.
Every Friday, a new show about craft beer geekery. There's also lots of local stuff.
Right.
With co-hosts Nick and Matt Napolitano.
Is that really how you say
it? I think so.
How do they say it?
I think, no, Nick was like trying to do the... No, there's like a really Italian way to say it.
Super Italian.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
And then there's also Dorktown, comedy podcast. It's basically like once a month now at this point.
Yeah.
Just like us. Flowing Famous. Produce Becky and Bells.
You just laugh about it. It's just fun. Cuss.
Lots, even more cussing.
It's essentially two hours of cursing F-bombs. And or games.
Yep. That's what it is. And then get off my podcast. Harrison Ford show.
Harrison Ford.
That's about once a month, roughly too.
Are you excited?
Get off my podcast. Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next month now.
2049. Is that what it's called?
2049.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. It's apparently has a running time of 2.5 hours.
Whoa.
Whew, that's a lot.
You need a break in that.
Yeah.
Are they gonna
intermission?
Remember when back? Yeah.
They
remember
used
when
to,
back in the day they had
intermissions.
Yeah. Civil War or whatnot.
Yeah. There's an app where I forget what it's called, where it tells you like the places to take a bathroom break. Like, oh, at an hour 10 minutes, nothing happens.
Oh,
you can take a bathroom.
That's great.
There's an I won't forget what it's
that
called,
is
but it's
awesome.
Out there.
Okay, so get off our pike. Anything else that you want to plug?
That's enough.
All right. So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com, where I talk about. Where I write about all the stuff, not all the stuff, but a lot of the stuff that we talk about. And, you know, obviously a lot of, most
if you
of
wish
the stuff
this show was
talk,
more in depth, follow what Josh is doing.
Yeah. Or just go to Fresno Bee, because FresnoBeehive.com, and there's other reporters that do stuff as well. Also, at the FresnoBeehive.com, there's a podcast that I do there. That is a pop culture podcast where we just like rant about pop culture-y stuff. So it's not Fresno specific. It's more just a general thing, and I do that with some other Fresno Bee staff members, Kathy Mahan and Roy Appleton generally, although we have other people that sit in every now and again.
Is there anyone else there now? Just you three, right?
Well, I mean, what's awesome actually about it right now is
there's
like,
still plenty
I
of Bee
like
reporters.
Everybody does a little bit of everything now, you know? So it's
right.
Like,
well, that was like what Merrick we were talking about earlier. It was just a sports guy, and now he does.
Yeah,
other
Merrick
stories.
Just he was had the War Zone. That was his column, and he was just a sports guy, and now he's doing a bunch of other stuff. He still does sports. He was all about the Fresno,
Fresno
State,
1-0, bro.
Woo! 66-0, and beer,
and they got beer in there. They have two beer gardens,
right?
Which I don't know.
What they got there?
I don't know. I tried to. Reggie has season tickets, and I was like texting him, like, tell me the beer in there. What's a beer? All I heard was Bud Light. No. That's all I heard.
I'm sure.
I don't know what else there.
They gotta have 805.
They probably have 805.
Right? They gotta have something.
8 and 5, bro.
So one back in the day, and not to get off subject, but I when there used to be beer at the stadium, I sold beer for the Bulldogs, the bowling team.
Oh my gosh!
I worked in the little booth, and they had
sweating your ass off.
I don't know. I can't
line
even
100 deep.
It was terrible.
Just pouring Bud Lights.
Oh yeah, it was
Bud Light pours.
It was horrendous.
You must have smelled great.
Oh, it was terrible. You would leave, and you would just be covered in like stale beer, and like it was like Bud Miller.
But Miller.
Coors Light. I don't know. Whatever. It was just horrible. It was like the worst. And then, you know, I would always see someone that I knew.
Yeah.
And they were like kind of drunk off their asses.
They're like, dude, Josh smells like.
What's dude, going
Josh
on?
Josh smells
man?
Like shit.
Yeah. It was horrendous. Anyway, lots of fun. I actually saw one of the. Someone who was working the stand with us actually got busted for selling underage.
Ah!
She didn't
oh,
check
God,
the
that's
dude's,
not good.
She didn't check the dude's... Well, she checked the dude's ID, but she didn't take it out of the
oh.
the thing.
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's a rookie move, right? And like... So
I
the,
mean, that's
the guy,
so ticky-tack.
The kid got caught. Guy comes back up and shows her that, and like it was so obviously fake. But you put it in the
thing...
The
thing,
wallet,
and it looks okay.
It looks fine. So okay. She just looked at it. Anyway,
that's tough.
I don't think she went to jail or nothing, but and then the kid was like totally like, "Oh, your fault for not jail." Like he was the kid
yeah.
was mean, being an ass.
Oh my god!
Anyway, all right. Where were we?
Bulldogs have beer now, okay. And
oh, so
more
done.
Plugs.
You're done plugging it
I'm
up.
Done plugging.
I was plugging it up. I was playing the
You
Beehive.
Got the Fresno Bee in there, the Fresno Beehive podcast, and now
that's it.
It'll go back to anything.
Oh, it'll go back. We're around if you want to check out, you know. But I have some other irons in the fire
oh.
that I might be
Musical
able to talk
irons?
About. Yeah, soon. So right. When that happens,
they
I'll,
don't
I'll
involve
let you
AC/DC.
Know. That do not involve AC. I'm also Ooh. In an AC/DC cover band for anyone who wants to be in on that. But yeah, so I'll start talking about that when it's a little,
All right,
a little
good.
Deeper in.
So. Look forward to that in October.
Yeah.
October, the greatest month in Fresno.
I will actually... It is.
It probably is.
So I will actually plug something that I think is important. I got to look up the date, though. But the last
the,
ever...
The,
Span
yeah,
Spec,
Spanspec Bros.
The last ever
our
Spanspec
Brothers. Brothers in Music Festivalness.
Is happening in September. And let me get the date. So this is the 12th one.
Out there in Arosa, Spanspec
they, yeah,
Local Music and Art Festival.
It is. It's a great local music art festival. And these guys, they've really done a lot. And... what's crazy is they've been doing this for 12 years, I think. I want to say it's 12 years, and they finally just got to a point where they're like, hey, man, we're done. We need to step away from it so we can focus time
Life.
On our families. And they're both in bands, and they kind of want to play. So it is happening September 16th out there in Arosa, and let me give you the lineup because it's a really a pretty good lineup. Strange Mind.
Boom.
Sagey. Do you know Sagey?
Sagey.
Young guy.
They're good, dude.
Yeah,
I want to see him.
Hip-hop
they're oh, drawing
dude.
Big,
dude.
Huh?
Yeah, they're
they have like big show,
yeah.
fun shows.
Yeah, and they're super good. The
I
guys,
need to go.
I mean, he's just amazing. He has
Be
a,
the old
a
guy in the corner with his arms folded.
Sci-fi Capers playing. Colecto is back. You know, the,
oh, he's
the,
back.
The
he's
robot,
back in town?
The robot, I suppose.
I know
or
he did
he
a show we missed.
Is coming in. Macondo is playing. Basura. And Werebear, and then there's it
That's
looks
awesome
like
lineup.
There's a bunch of DJs, Laura Martins, who I think does some stuff with Sahab now and again. TSON Tyson, I don't know, Low Key Theory, and Native Earthian. And so that's there. And you can follow their website, spanspecfestival.blogspot.com. And they'll have information on all the artists as it gets closer in the next couple of weeks. So go there and do it. Support those guys. Even if you can't make it out to the festival, throw them a couple bucks because they're doing really cool stuff out there. So, all right. I think
also,
that's it.
Thanks to C-Mac
oh,
for
yeah.
broadcasting us.
That is
Hello,
great.
Person watching your TV.
And yeah.
How are you? Good. That's good. We may do something with C-Mac in the future. That
yeah,
may be something,
so that
hopefully.
Is something that we could probably plug at some point once it happens. We're
yeah,
looking to do
but,
a podcasting.
Appreciate C-Mac letting us on their airwaves. And everybody, if the best thing you can do for us is talk about us.
Tell
everybody. Word of mouth.
Awesome.
Everybody you know, if you're in Fresno, you know a Fresnan.
Right.
You can talk about, hey,
Tell
there's
them.
This podcast called Flowing with right. Famous. subscribe, and subscribing and talking about us to your friends are the best things you can do for us. So.
And following really us on Twitter at Flowing with Pod.
And Joshua Teehee.
Or Joshua Teehee. Or the President. And tell us how much you love us or hate us. All right, that is it. I'm going to count us out, and then we're going to do the song. So if you're against that, just stop listening now. I'm giving you fair warning.
This is like spoilers after this, guys. Whoa, Josh's mic just went down. There's a ghost in the studio that does not want this.
Does not want this
singing
happen.
To happen.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.